It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Labatt Studio, and it's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. And Tucker's Tape is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Located only a few miles from Beaver Stadium, the convenience and value of renting an RV for a Penn State home game is something every Nittany Lions fan should consider. For more information, visit their website, GoPSURV.com, or call Mark 1-800-519-8467. GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience. Andy Shea, Bob Flounders, Ross Tucker, this is Tucker's Tape. We've got three games, 12 quarters. They are 25% of the way
through. Here come the numbers.
Ross, this is all yours.
No, you got more numbers. Don't even try. You just let Bob talk you out of that.
I don't have any more numbers.
So it's so funny because during the season, or really all year, I usually text Andy and Jim, especially if I'm breaking down a recruit, like my notes, so you guys have an idea of what I'm going to say about the recruits I've watched film. I found myself during the Idaho game and the Buffalo game, like typing stuff on my phone and stuff. I was going to send it. And I was like, oh, I'm not on the show this week. Like, I'm a man with notes and nowhere to go. I think the only, like, the best way to do it is probably just kind of go by position.
Okay.
And try and do it fairly quickly.
So where do you want to start? Which side of the ball?
I'll start with offense.
Okay.
I'll start. Well, you know what? I know how Bob's philosophy is. I'll start with offense. I'll start with quarterback.
Okay.
Okay. So Sean Clifford has been fine, I think is a good way to describe it. You know, he has been a pleasant surprise. He really has gotten faster. Now, I don't really believe he went from a 4.8 to a 4.5 because I've never heard of any human being doing that in the span of 2 years when they're already in college. But he's definitely faster. He was faster than they gave him credit for when he was in high school.
Right.
I remember we did that breakdown. He could run in high school. But his running has been a really pleasant surprise. My biggest issue with him is awareness. And I don't know if it's just because he hasn't played that much in a while. Like, I'm watching him against Pitt, and he dives 2 yards short of the first down, and then they have to punt. Like, so what I thought Clifford was average arm talent, average size, average athletic ability, above average intangibles, accuracy, awareness, football intelligence. What he is average arm strength. He's a better runner than I thought, but he's not what I thought he was, at least not yet. And I don't remember, maybe you guys remember what I said after Trace's first three games when he was a redshirt sophomore. So I'm trying not to judge Sean Clifford too harshly. It's his first time playing. He's played three games. I have a feeling I'll hopefully feel a lot different about him 6 weeks from now after, you know, he's played a decent amount of a season. But his, like, I was shocked just talking with him on the phone when he was in high school and just the way he carries himself that he was the type of guy that would dive short of the first down in that situation, not have that awareness. And the other thing is, like, he does not get through his progressions as quickly as I thought he would at all. Not at all. And he's taking some hits. You were talking about Tommy Stevens. Clifford is taking hits that he should not take in the pocket, out of the pocket. And they don't have Tommy Stevens anymore. I don't know if Will Levis can help them win Big Ten games. Yeah. He cannot take these hits. This is, by the way, why most coaches would have said to Tommy Stevens, Tommy, you're the starter. And they would have started against Idaho. And as long as he was playing great, he played great. If he played bad, then you bench him. But then you'd at least have both. They don't have both anymore. And the backup's very much an unknown. That's how I am on Clifford. Throwing the ball, he's been okay. I'm very surprised with him going through his progressions and his lack of awareness. Is that fair, unfair?
Yeah, and the one thing I noticed, he did it in the last two games. He did it against Pittsburgh. They were in position for a field goal on third and down. And you're saying you cannot take – the ball's got to come out. Either you throw it away or whatever, and he takes a sack. And
he's done that a couple times.
It's obvious. You just can't do that, and it goes to the awareness. He's got to get better at that against a good team that could cost him the game.
I agree with you for the most part, Ross. I see a guy who hasn't played football in 3 years. Because remember, he was injured his senior year of high school. He had that. So he hasn't.
Yeah.
He hasn't really played football as you remember and saw him on tape in 3 years.
But if he's not a plus player on awareness,
yeah,
and football right. intelligence,
either you are, you aren't.
This is going to be a problem. At wide receiver. I was pleasantly surprised by Shorter, like in the first game.
Yeah.
But where was that last game? Like, Shorter looked great in the first game against Idaho. Did he pass against Pitt?
He looked okay against Buffalo when they went.
Yeah, there was one play though on a third down. He didn't get to the sticks. He caught the ball 2 yards short.
Right.
And on a third down, and I think that kind of resonated maybe with Jared Parker. The ability's there. He did some great things after the catch against Idaho in the first game. But he looked good. I thought he struggled to get open against Pittsburgh.
At tight end, Freiermuth, I just don't understand why they don't give him the ball more.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been middle of the field, easier throws for Clifford. That I don't understand, and I don't know how much of that. I'm going to put more of that on Ricky Ronnie than Sean Clifford. I don't really understand that. The offensive line has been okay. They've been kind of what they've been the last few years, which I guess is good considering McGovern and Bates are both on NFL rosters. Maybe it's – by the way, I'm so happy for Bates. So happy that he made the Bills. Yeah. That was awesome. But I will say this. I love some of the things that C.J. Thorpe does. I love some of the things that guy does. But there's also a reason why Miranda's playing more than he is. I just think Miranda's – coaches want reliable. Coaches want dependable, and I'm not sure C.J. Thorpe always is. Other than that, the line's been okay.
Yeah,
there are times where it feels like they're dominant, and they go right down the field. Other times, you're like, what are they doing?
I see communication as their biggest struggle.
Which makes no sense, right. Considering they have Menin at center, Gonzalez next to them.
Recognition and communication.
Nothing gets me more frustrated than that. Nothing. I went to the Jets game Monday night. They have all guys that played like 8 years, and they got guys coming free left and right.
I know.
What is going on? I hate that. Running back. I know this has been a big topic for everybody. I don't know. Like, what's the big what's everybody fired up about? Slade's done a couple positive things. Kane had a really nice drive. Journey Brown's done some really good things. Devin Ford's done some good things. So I guess I don't understand. Maybe you guys can explain what the big hubbub is about always asking Franklin about the running backs. Like, all of them have done good things. They're trying to figure out who the best is. There's four of them. They're three games in. Yeah. I think the rotation will shorten as the season goes on, but I don't think that's a major topic in my mind.
I have not seen what I needed to see from Slade as a runner. He just has not.
That's fair.
He's not pushed the pile at all. He does not.
He's better as a receiver.
He doesn't get extra yards. He got lighter from the spring. He was at 206. He's at 198. How, after what Noah Kane did on that touchdown drive, does he not see the field again?
Again.
That is, drove me crazy. And why is Slade in the game for the 4 minute offense when they just need to run the ball and get one first down? I think Slade can.
Those are both fair.
Slade can get some plays in the passing game, but I don't want him banging between the tackles. I think Journey Brown has also done some good things. To me, those two have separated Journey
and
Noah.
Well, they haven't given Ford that many opportunities. And when he has, I mean, he went flying. Anyway, let's get to the defense. D line, disappointing. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm trying to remember if maybe last year it was similar, and then they always end up having good sack numbers at the end of the year. I don't know how they do it, but you'd think they'd have more good sacks now in the non-conference than against the Big Ten. Does Etor Gross-Matos still play for Penn State?
Yeah.
Do we know if he still plays
awfully
for
quiet
Penn State?
The last two games.
Very, very quiet for a projected first-round pick. And I personally – like, do you see what Chase Young does for Ohio State? You see what the Iowa kid does? He's not as good as they are. I mean, those kids are every week dominators, and we're putting them on the side of a milk carton right now. It makes me wonder. He was suspended for the whole summer. I wonder what that was for, and I wonder if maybe he's the type of kid that thinks he already made it because everybody's telling me first-round pick because he played. I don't know him at all.
Yeah.
But he's bothering me because I was the one that said he was the number one recruit in that class, and so I want full credit. So Etor needs to step it up. But the defense has been – Mustafer's done some good things.
I think Shaka Tony's been good. He just isn't finishing yet.
That's right.
But I think he's providing the most consistent pressure off the edge.
Yeah, I would say defensive line's disappointment. I would say the linebackers have been very good. The linebackers – and it's not – I mean, Cam Brown's been good. Mike has been good. Jan's been good and got that sack. But even like Ellis Brooks,
yeah.
Lucada, like – They've got linebacker U is back. They've got a bunch of linebackers. It's almost like I wish I could put some of these linebackers at other positions because they're good at linebacker. Secondary is how I feel about the offensive line every year. It's like, yeah.
I agree.
Like with John Reed and Tariq Castro-Fields, I guess I expected more. You know, I thought both those guys would be pros. I thought they'd both play better. Like some of the penalties those guys get and stuff. They've had their moments. John Reed had the pick six, which they desperately needed. So they've had their moments. But I think it's fair to say that I'm a little disappointed with them. They're like the offensive line. I feel like Penn State secondary and offensive line are the same every year, where it's very inconsistent is the best way to describe them. And then the kicking game has saved them. I mean, Jordan Stout.
Yeah,
he's my favorite player. Like, I love that. Thank goodness for that guy with kickoffs, field goals. I mean, how did Virginia Tech let him leave?
It's the mystery to me.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
They're not exactly a
they
top
didn't offer
10
him a scholarship.
Team. Jesus.
They didn't offer him a scholarship, Virginia Tech. He was a walk-on and kicked for him last year, was number four in FBS in touchbacks. Felt he deserved a scholarship. Virginia Tech said no. He went in the portal.
Mark, can I just say something? The fact that Andy knows he was fourth in FBS in touchbacks, Jim, our
not
boss,
surprising.
I need to admit something to you. Andy puts more time into this than I do, I think. Okay. The fact that he knew he was fourth in college football last year in touchbacks. Anyway, I love that guy. Gillikin's been great. I kind of want more out of the return game. With KJ Hamler, it should be like Rocket Ishmael, where you're thinking he's going to take it back to the house every time.
All right, that's it for quarter number two from the Labatt Blue Studio. Ask Ross is next.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.